Welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast, a safe space for honest, transparent, authentic, and real life gist about being a mother, African style. I am your hostess with the mostest, Berry Dakara, and I'm here to share the unique experiences of being an African mother. Thank you for tuning in. Oya, drop the kids, get comfy, and make we start. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. I am your hostess, Ms. Berry Dakara, and this is episode 39. This is a pretty long episode, so we're just going to dive right in. But before we get to the guest and the interview, I do have to mention that it's a pretty sensitive topic. We are talking about infant loss, and it might be triggering for someone who has experienced something similar. Whether they've lost a child, lost an infant, lost a pregnancy, or maybe even trying to conceive, this episode might be a little sensitive and a little bit triggering. And I just want you to understand that we're sharing Lola's story because we don't want you to feel alone. We don't want you to feel like you're the only one who's gone through something like you have. And for others who haven't experienced this kind of loss, please just listen with sensitivity. Listen with grace. I would ask that you listen through to the end of the episode because Lola really, really shares her heart. It might be uncomfortable for, you know, a little bit, but once you really get to listen to her and know a little bit more about her, I think that you'll really understand where she's coming from and how she's been able to live her life after losing her son, Elijah, at 2 weeks old. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Lola Igombor as she talks about her heaven baby. Hi, Lola.
Hi, Barry.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm exhausted. I'm wonderful. And well, you know why I'm exhausted.
Right.
Guys, let me just tell you straight off, okay, it is 11:10 p.m. and for the past hour, we've been trying to put our children to sleep because today is Friday. We had decided we would have this conversation at 10 p.m. this Friday night. How about at 10 p.m. I sent her a message. Actually, 9:50, I sent a message to let her know that, sorry, oh, Coco is still awake and she doesn't look like she's sleeping anytime soon. Just give me a few minutes. And Lola is like, oh, my children are still awake too.
Yes, awake and live and living color. Yes.
I'm telling you, I mean, Coco was just going on about, Mommy, I'm a bit hungry. Mommy, I want to do binoculars with Grandma. Mommy, there's something on my fingernail. Mommy, I need to go pee. I'm like, really? It's 10 o'clock at night. Can you just sleep, please?
Exactly. I always tell my daughter, I say, your mates are all sleeping. You should be sleeping.
Thank you. I think two of them will be good friends because they're both two. Coco's going to be three in June.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're almost the same age. So there you go.
Yeah, definitely. And I know your daughter's personality from watching. I'm like, this seems like my daughter too. And they're like the same people.
Like you said, though, God help us.
Oh, yes.
All right. So, Lola, welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. I'm so thrilled to have you on today. Could you please introduce yourself? Tell us about who you are, what you do, your family life, your career, all your many side hustles, and everything you want to share with us.
Yes, yes. First, I want to take this opportunity to thank you, actually. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to be part of what you're doing. I'm so grateful for your platform. After listening to your podcast, I was like, wow, this is so big. Like, it's so important to have such a platform, especially for us African women, to just share and pour our hearts out in hopes to help one another. And I just really, really appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So basically, I'm Lola Igunbor, and I am a mom of three. I have one heaven baby, which we will discuss later, and I have two children here on earth so far. I have a little boy and a little girl, and I'm happily married to my best friend and lover, and professionally, I'm a nurse practitioner, and I've been a nurse practitioner for over 6 years now. Side hustle wise, I am the owner of 4H&S, which is a Christian clothing brand, which we just try to spread the gospel in apparel, because we believe we're like walking billboards. And so we just like to share the good news on clothing. And it's actually funny that part of the story that I'll be sharing today that season in our life allowed me to birth something new with 4H&S, and which is one of our collections. It's called Truth Is I'm Loved, and it's a Soul Love collection that's based on John 3:16. And I'm a new YouTuber, I guess that's what you call yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's about all.
Oh, thank you very much for that introduction. Everyone, you guys need to check out her YouTube channel, and we'll just go right into the questions that I have. So on your YouTube channel and social media, you've talked about, and you just talked about your son, your heaven baby, Elijah, who you lost. It was what, 2 weeks after he was born?
Yes.
And first of all, I'm really sorry for your loss. I'm sorry that that happened to you. I cannot imagine what that must have been like. So I know it's a very sensitive topic, not just for you, but for a lot of African women who usually cannot talk about it. But if you don't mind, could you please walk us through what the experience was like? And, you know, of course you can share as much as you want to, or leave out any detail that you want. It's really up to you.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thank you. I actually enjoy talking about it, sharing his story and that season of our life, because it actually brings me healing. And I kind of learned that over time. So we were, I think, a year out after being married for about a year. We prayed that we would be able to conceive, and we did immediately. We didn't want to have children right after marriage. So after a year, we're like, okay, we're ready. And we were able to get pregnant. So when we were 3 months pregnant, we went for an ultrasound. And during that ultrasound is when they found like something wrong with the baby's heart. And so from there, we had to have like a follow-up ultrasound with a cardiac specialist. And that's where they told us that baby Elijah had a severe cardiac dysfunction, and which was the medical term is like severe mitral valve regurgitation. Basically, instead of the blood flowing to the rest of the body and other organs, it's going to be flowing backwards. So it's going to make his heart too large and not allow the lungs to grow or develop, which, you know, the heart and lungs are like two of the most important things to have to live. So that was basically the news we received, you know, after being so excited about this pregnancy. And so even when we received that news, because my husband and I, we both come from like a, you know, Christian background, and we know that you're supposed to, you know, put our trust in God. So we just kind of had that perspective, even with that negative news. We're like, okay, we're just going to keep trusting God. You know, when we're going to pray, we'll eventually tell the family so others can pray. And that, you know, and I really, really did not think that anything would happen to the child. Like, honestly, even after hearing that bad news, I was just like, oh, whatever. Like, he will be fine. Because, I mean, just growing up, I've had so many situations in life that I've seen God literally, like, help me and deliver me from. And so I was just like, oh, this is just one of those things.
Right. Like, as Christians, especially, I guess, African Christians, we're really just taught to praying faith and speaking faith. So it's just like, if you hear any bad, anything bad, it's like, yeah, it's not gonna happen to me, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so just from there, every month after that, we would have to see several doctors, and each time we would go in, it's the same bad news. And they would just kind of keep monitoring the baby. And they would say, this baby will not make it, And they even gave us like option to abort, or they were really, really concerned for us. And they were really concerned about baby Elijah's health. And so, which was understandable. And so we just kind of went from month to month. Finally, we did share with the family, like close family, so that we didn't want a lot of fear surrounding us in that season, so we just kind of wanted people that would be praying with us. And so that's kind of how that went. And so Elijah made it. He surpassed all of the medical opinions, And so almost when it was my due date in May, like 2 weeks before, I think I was just going for a regular follow-up appointment, OB appointment, and they were monitoring him. And immediately, like the nurse started looking some type of way, and she was like, "Hey, have you eaten today?" And I was just like, "What?" And towards the end of pregnancy, you're like exhausted already. So I just thought it was just like, "Okay, I'm exhausted, and the baby's probably exhausted as well." And so, come to find out, his heart rate was dropping, and so it looked like he was, not doing too well. So I called my husband, and this was 2 weeks before my due date. I called my husband, and he was just like, "Don't mind those people. Just there's nothing wrong with the baby. Come home. You haven't eaten today." So they were like, "Okay, we want you to go to Northside, the hospital, and we'll monitor you closely." So, anyways, long story short, went home. My husband gave me Chinese food. We took communion. We also believe in the power of the blood of Jesus. So we just took communion because we've heard another couple share testimony about something happening to their baby, and they took communion. So anyways, we took it out of the act of faith. And then we got to Northside, and they started monitoring us. And the baby was fine. We were there for about 4 hours, and nothing was wrong. He was perfectly fine. And so they said that even though he was fine, they were wanting to induce me the Monday before my due, the week I was due, I guess. And so we told the family, we were just praying, and I was like, "God, I don't want to be induced. I don't want to put this baby through any stress, with his medical condition. So I just want this baby to, I want Elijah to come out when Elijah's supposed to come out, because you're the one that put this baby in me." And so lo and behold, Monday we went for our appointment, which that was that Monday night they were going to induce me. And this was my first pregnancy, so I was like, "Induction, I heard this thing is evil. I'm not trying to kill myself." And so when we went for that appointment, I never felt contractions ever. And so I got on the table, the nurse, the tech, or whatever was going to monitor, put the monitor on to hear the baby's heart beat, and immediately I started shouting because this severe pain came upon me. I'm telling you, I jumped off the exam table, and everybody's like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" I was like, "I don't know what this is. Is this what they call contractions? Oh my God." Like, I was like, "What is this?" Because everybody told me when you have contractions, you will know it's contractions. So I was just like, "God." So the girl ran out the room, went to go get the doctor. My husband's like, "Are you okay?" I said, "I think I'm about to have the baby, or this is called contractions." So the doctor came in, he checked me, and he was just like, "This is so strange. Why are you having contractions? So have you had it all week?" I was like, "No, this, I'm just sitting here and I just felt it." He said, "Okay, well, that's interesting. Let me go ahead and just send you to Northside," being that this baby was already high risk. So they sent us to Northside, and I did actually start labor. And am I, how much of this I can keep going, right?
Definitely.
I can talk forever. But so we went to Northside. We called my sister Faith, my sister-in-law Faith, and she met us there. And so we started the journey of labor, and labor was labor, and it was getting intensified. And I asked them for a wonderful epidural. I asked my sister-in-law, "Does it get worse than this?" And she said, "Yes." And we got an epidural, and it was the most peaceful labor ever after that. I literally was probably already 9 centimeters when I got the epidural, and I pushed Elijah out with like 5 pushes. I held my own legs, and I just pushed. And they were just like, "What?" And this is my first baby, right? And so all the medical staff was on board, ready, you know, to take the baby. And so they really wanted me to do that whole mom and child bonding thing. But because he came out really well, he was nicely colored, no issues. He wasn't blue yet, you know, with the lack of oxygen.
Right.
And he cried and everything. And then they attempted to put him on my chest, but he started, they quickly took him to check his vitals and things like that. And he started desaturating, which his oxygen level was low. So my husband and my sister-in-law were able to kind of take pictures, love on him, you know, from a distance. And then they were able to just whisk him off to the NICU, basically. And then from there, he got transferred to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, where I would not see him until like 2 days, in which he had to have heart surgery. They wanted to put a valve in his heart so that it could help with the blood flow, and he handled that well. And then I think a few days later, he had to go back for like a emergency. I think the valve, something happened with the valve, so they rushed him really quickly back. And that actually was probably the worst moment of my life, because at that point we thought everything was under control. You know, it's like, okay, he is sick, but at least he tolerated the first procedure. And so when they took him quickly, we were just like about to go see him, and all we saw was, hey, we have to take him. So that day was probably the most pain I ever felt in life, because you couldn't follow him to the OR. I mean, you couldn't follow him. They were just like whisking him away. And I didn't know, like, will I never see him again? Is he about to die? Like, it was the worst thing in life. And so I literally probably almost lost my mind that day. But God just kept me right together. He used my dad to just speak life into me on the phone. And then we were back to normal, and he tolerated the procedure, but he never could get weaned off a ventilator after that. And he ended up developing some kind of infection that they couldn't really understand why, but he ended up passing away after 2 weeks. So everybody that met, you know, my family, everybody came in town, my in-laws, everybody got to meet him. And then he passed away the day actually that my in-laws came and spent like hours in the
Oh
hospital with us.
no.
And actually that day was like the best day ever. I was so full of joy. It was very weird. I don't know how to explain it. And the nurse that had Elijah dressed him up in this white garment and quilts. You know, they make these little quilts for babies in hospital. And she just dressed him up so beautifully. And I was like, oh my gosh, my child looks like an angel today. I just remember saying that. And even my father-in-law looked at me. He was like, wow, Lala, you look so happy today for some reason. And I don't know why. I didn't know that would be the day that he would actually transition. But that was actually one of the most beautiful days of my life. And my husband and I, we didn't call family when we knew that he was, you know, his vital signs and everything was going south. So they kind of warned us. And so we were able to just stand by his bedside. And that was my prayer to God. I said, if this child is going to leave, I want to be there. I don't want to receive a call from home because, you know, I also just gave birth. So I had to be home healing. We used to do the whole take me there every day thing. And then I was advised from aunties that, you know, you have to heal. You don't want to get an infection. You don't want to hurt yourself. You're still healing. So I stayed home a lot. And then I would go at night with my husband. He would be there mostly during the day, and my family members would rotate. He was never alone. He was fully loved. I mean, they knew us so well in that hospital. He was always having a visitor next to him. So my family really handled it well for me so that I would be able to rest. And so my prayer was, God, I don't want this call, because they will call you to say, oh, Elijah's not doing well. You know, every day it was kind of that story. And finally, I was like, God, I want to be next to him when he transitions. And God allowed my husband and I to be there alone with him. And, I mean, I could just share that story. It was just the most amazing. I can say amazing now, but at that time it was just like, okay, what's happening? Part of me was like, please, God, don't let, like, how, if he dies, how am I going to handle it? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, you don't know what's coming, but you know something big is about to hit you. You know what I'm trying to say? And so the whole time I was just standing there, I was just speaking in tongues, and I was just talking to God, and I was like, God, Father, you're going to help us through this. You're going to help us through this. And I just, like, everything in me did not want to just crack up, you know? And so I was just holding on to that faith that I had from the beginning to the end. And he transitioned, and when he finally left, it was just, I like can literally see it now. I was just like, well, Elijah in the Bible, you know, was taken up by a chariot, but, and I know God can raise you back up even if you're dead. I just looked at the baby, and I was just like, well, I guess she had to go, and I just kind of we held him, and then we called our family to come in, and they you know, came. And my husband's like, do not come in here acting a fool, because my wife is not rolling on this floor. So you guys will come in with peace. And everybody behaved accordingly.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So that was our story. And after that, we literally, that following weekend, all our family came in town. And all we wanted to do was basically have a worship service in the house, my sister-in-law's house, and just thank God. Because a lot of part of the story that I failed to say is like, because that would be a whole nother episode. God was literally with us the whole time, though. Mm-hmm. As strange as that sounds, like he was, it was the best pregnancy. I was so sick before I got pregnant, and I literally never had that sickness since that pregnancy again. And it's a sickness that's supposed to reoccur every year. So I like literally received healing even though I lost the baby. And I didn't only just receive physical healing, I received healing even with infant loss, so which I'll get on later. So, yep, that's our story.
Yeah, because it's really amazing to hear you talk now, because you sound so light and like talking about the experience. I don't even know how to explain it. But I can't imagine what I would have been like if I had been in your shoes, because me, I'm an emotional wreck almost every day. Well, not every day, but yeah, it's just, I don't know what the whole, I'm actually a little bit stumped. Like, I know what I'm trying to say, but it's just not coming out. I guess it's part of the healing that you're talking about. And I do want to talk about that, because it's such a big thing, you know, to be pregnant and to get that kind of news that they're not sure if your baby is going to make you, your baby is sick. And then for the baby to be born and eventually, you know, pass on, it's a huge, huge life-altering thing. Mm-hmm. That you would, well, I guess for someone like me, I guess sometimes I would imagine that it would stay with you forever, but it would be this, you know, sad cloud over your mind and over your spirit and over your life. Although I really shouldn't see it like that, because my mom actually lost a baby, I think less than a week after my sister was born, but we don't really talk about her. We really don't. Oh, wow. Yeah, we don't. Every once in a while, like once in a very, very long while, if my mom's talking about a testimony, like she'll bring it up, but like the rest of us, we don't really talk much about it, because I guess it's still a thing in our lives. But then I do want to ask, you've been open about losing Elijah, and in African culture, people don't really talk about it. Like, I'm telling you about my family, like we don't really talk about it, but you do. And right off the bat, you said, you know, I'm a mom of three, my baby died after 2 weeks, but I feel like in African culture, we're not really supposed to talk about it. Like, it's too painful, or there's some shame, or there's fear or guilt, but you're talking about it very openly. And I just want to ask, what has led you to talk about losing Elijah and the feelings and the healing that you have experienced from, you know, losing him up until now?
Okay, well, for one, I think the most thing that makes me talk about it is because our story is so supernatural. Just like you shared, like, especially in the African community, it's so taboo to talk about infant loss, miscarriage, or anything like that. And we just kind of brush it under the rug, or, you know, you hear, just forget about it, or
you know, that's not your child, or just hurry up and get pregnant quickly, you know, or, you know, just so many different comments. And I think we got to experience some of that. Even one comment I got was somebody actually approached my husband and said, next time, don't let her put the pregnancy on Facebook. And that the person actually didn't know that we never put the pregnancy on Facebook. I actually put the pregnancy up after the child was born. So that's when I was now putting like pregnancy pictures, and people were like, oh, congratulations, when do you do? They didn't know baby was already here, you know. And so she never knew that. But when she first saw my husband after it happened, she was like, next time, tell her not to put it on Facebook. And I was just like, wow. And Jesus. And I was just so grateful that day that God spared her life. And she did not tell me that, because I just don't know how. I don't know what her future would have been like. But I thank God for the grace of God. But also, you know, I'm also encouraged to share, because like, it's like if you were sick and all the doctors tried everything they could, right? And they're like, we can't do anything else. And then one day, like, God just shows up in front of you and he's like, hey, get up, you're healed. Wouldn't you want to share that? And all of a sudden, all the sickness and disease is gone. Something that doctors said, there's nothing else we can do, you're about to die. And God is like, nope, I got you, get up, you're healed. And then you would want to share. And I think that's the same thing with me, because our story is so supernatural. Like, most people expect when you talk about infant loss, and I've been like surrounded by people with infant loss, and I've been researching, and I've joined communities now, and the pain that is described is like pain, it's almost like cancer pain and worse. It's like deep in your bone. It's like a pain that you would never ever get rid of. There's no medication, there's no therapy that's going to take it away. There's nothing really, really helps. Things can kind of, you know, make you you know, put your mind on other things, but it's like a pain that never leaves. Even after you have other children, it's like you still remember it. And that's the way it was supposed to be for us. But yet it wasn't like that for us. And people like to say, oh, you're so strong. And people want to know like the five steps of how did you not endure how did you not experience that kind of pain that most people experience? And I was just like, it's not because I'm strong. I probably am a weak person. But I don't know why God just chose to take it from us. And I think it's more like he gave us a different perspective about it and allowed us to release the pain to him. Because like I said, when they took him for that follow-up surgery emergency, that was the most painful day of my life. Not even the day he died. The day he passed away was not, I said that was the most beautiful day of my life. But so I know, so I did get to experience some of that pain. And that pain I experienced that day was enough to take me out. I could not imagine still being in pain today. Do you see what I'm trying to say? That, like, that pain will take somebody out. And I think that's why, and just even with my situation, it was hard to kind of talk to people about it, even though I love sharing, because it was bringing healing to me. Every time I talked about it, even on that, like, even when the baby was in the hospital, as soon as he died, I would share with people, and it was like this awkward stare. I mean, even going back to work, it was just like everybody was walking on needles or eggshells or something. I was just like, what in the world is going on? So it started making me feel like I was strange. They were like, how are you doing, Lola? And I was like, oh, I'm fine. I'll be like trying to show them pictures of the baby, talk about my labor. And people are like, it's so quiet. It's like they don't know what to say.
Yeah, because it's not something that you talk about. And if you talk about it, like you're expected to be, in pain and, just, in fact, you're not even supposed to talk about it, period. At least
Right.
at least in our
In
culture.
our culture, yeah. Yeah, so I guess that's why I kind of like I didn't get too upset about it, because I was like, okay, maybe people just don't know what to say or how to react. And so I guess that's why I'm speaking, to encourage other moms of angel babies or moms of infant loss to talk about it, because it's so healing, Barry. Like I receive life every time I talk about Elijah. I feel like sometimes we keep that wound to ourselves, and we just allow the negative thoughts and the shame and the guilt to eat us away, and we never move past. And even though in our African culture we don't talk about it, I know so many moms are just secretly dying. Like,
they're just being tortured by that pain, but they can't even speak about it. Imagine having a pain that you can't even say, doctor, I need medicine for, I need help. You're right. Just sitting there with that pain. And so I think God used me, and I don't think it's by chance that I'm in the African community. And I think he's like, okay, this big mouth, loud girl is going to talk. So I'm going to, let me raise her in an African home and let me help her through this. And so now she can be the voice in the African community. You see what I'm saying? And right. And that's why I'm speaking out about it. Oh, and interesting. I have one little funny story. I went to the African store and I had Anna Grace, and she's full of life, you know, so everybody always has to ask questions about her. Mm-hmm. And so the lady at the desk was like, hey, is that your daughter? I was like, yes. It was, you know, she was just saying how wonderful my daughter was. And she was like, how many kids do you have? For some reason, that question is very interesting because you don't know how to answer it. And so, especially with Africans, you know, with Americans, I can say three.
Right.
And they, you know, with Africa, I was just like, but everything in me didn't want me to say two. So I did the three. I said three, mine. I was like, and one is in heaven and two are here. She's like, oh. Mm-mm. She, you don't count that one, dear. That's not
wow.
That one. Me, I was just like, I was
so shocked. Actually told you that you can't count him.
I'm telling you, this was her mouth in the African stores. I'm checking out with my bubbly self. I'm like, oh, my daughter, she's just telling my mother. And she was like, oh, no, you don't count that one. I said, excuse me, ma? She said, oh, no, you don't. I said, wow. I said, what do you mean you don't count it? I said, no, I count that one. I said, I was 40 weeks. I had a whole baby and he lived for 2 weeks. Oh, please believe I'm counting that one. I said, it had a name and all. Like, he's wow. Being counted. And she was like, oh, my daughter just actually lost one and she's going through that too. And I said, yeah, you might want to encourage her to heal. And she's going to grieve knowing that that one counted. Don't tell her the same thing you're telling me. That's not going to help. And actually, the lady listened to me. She didn't fight me. She was just like, that's interesting. I was like, yeah. And I kind of just told her a little bit of the story. And I said, you know, I'm fine. You see, I'm here talking about it. I'm joyful. Like, I'm not talking from a place of hurt or brokenness. Like, I'm okay. And so I'm going to continue to count that baby. And she was just like, well, that's so interesting. That's an interesting perspective, Sha. And then that was how we left it. And I just went home like, good Lord, what does that mean?
I cannot believe she actually said that.
That's what she said. Stranger. I've never met her a day in my life.
You know, I'm sorry. I have to talk to Mommy or your audience, please. Do not give with people like that lady. Please do not do this to me. Okay? The fact that you listen to Mommy Oyoyo means that, you know, you have some tactfulness, you have some sense. It means that you are gracious towards others and you do not put your foot in your mouth and say things like that. Come on, guys.
Come on.
Okay, it's not you I'm preaching to, but I'm talking to her. But you guys know, you don't talk like that. I mean, that's why you listen to me, because we don't talk like that. Wow, I can't even believe. But yeah, there's this thing of, you know, I don't even, and I feel bad for saying it, but I don't even remember. And I know my mom, no. Let's just not get into it now. I'll talk about it with her later. They're talking okay. About you. But could you talk about, I like how you said your husband told your family members that they should, I guess, act accordingly when they come into the room to see you and to see, was Elijah there?
They came. Yeah, so we were left with his body. So they just let us have his body for a little while before, okay. You know.
So I like how you said that he took charge and says, listen, said to them, you know, said to your family, this is how you need to act when you come in here. And I just wanted to ask, you know, losing Elijah, like, was there any effect on your marriage at all? You know, because even when things like this happen, we only really focus on the mom who's lost her child. But I mean, there was a father who has lost his child too. And how did your husband handle Elijah's loss, and how were you both able to weather it as a couple? Like, we've heard your side, but like, if you could give us some insight into your husband and what it was like for him, what it's been like for him.
Okay, so for my husband, so like I said, we were after a year of marriage, then we got pregnant with Elijah. So that was really exciting. And my husband comes from a really big family. He has, it's him and then one more boy. So it's a whole bunch of girls. So it's like, this was a big deal, you know, this pregnancy for us. And so even after Elijah was born, and like I said, I was healing in the house and everything, my husband was always in the hospital. He would FaceTime me from Elijah's bedside. He would be praying next to him. He was so, I mean, he was up in there like he was the mother of the child, honestly. He knew everything about the baby, everything. He listened to every doctor conversation. He called all the family. He would update everybody. He was it during that time. Mm-hmm. And so I would just be home, you know, and resting and listening to scripture and healing words and just believing God. And so after he transitioned, and even while he was transitioning and we were standing next to each other, we literally were just worshiping. He played worship music on his phone, and we were just worshiping as the baby was transitioning. And so after he transitioned, like I said, he told my family, hey, y'all come, you know, come in here with peace. And after that, once we got home, somebody from the church called my sister-in-law and said, the best thing you can do for them right now is to get in that house and take out everything that's baby related. And literally, my siblings lined up in our apartment, and all of them, all my brothers, they carried every single baby item out of our house. Huh. That was within, I'm telling you, within, we got to the house, within an hour, everything was gone. We had one room that had all of the baby, and he was so blessed. Like, he had so many gifts. This is our first baby, and we're both loved in so many different areas. You know, I'm from Savannah, he's from Atlanta. So we literally had three baby showers for this child. So that place was full. So everybody took my Elijah stuff to their house. My sister-in-law had a room for him, everything. And so I didn't know what to expect as far as how we would grieve. I can't even tell you, like, with the man grieve verse, I didn't know, but it's like we both grieved together, healthy. I don't know how to explain it other than we were so close. It impacted our marriage. That's your question. It did, but it impacted our marriage for the better. Like we got so close, because I think when you go through some situations like that or tragedy, sometimes it can break you apart, but with us, it really drew us closer, because it's like, it was almost like it was us. It was our story. It happened to us. So we're the only two that can understand. You see what I'm trying to say?
Right.
Like, we were the only two that would be able to understand each other in that season. And so we took the opportunity to understand each other in that season. And we loved on each other. I mean, we would just cuddle. And if I wanted to cry, I would cry. And I would just talk about Elijah. And my husband allowed me to talk about Elijah. And then he would talk about Elijah too. And he would say, oh, remember this? And I'll say, hey, remember this when this happened? We would have so many, like, remember these moments. And I think that helped with the grieving too, because we were both able to talk about it. Most times, couples can't even talk about it. And most times it seems like the dad, you know, and the mom's feelings are totally different and separate. But it's almost like we had a unified, and I won't know 100%, you know.
Right.
He had a different aspect that I don't know about, you know what I'm trying to say, but from the part that I saw, we both did it together, and we just continued to trust God and believe God. And my husband covered me and protected me even through the, like, after the loss. He's always been protecting me from the culture itself, you know. Mm-hmm. any shame, any guilt that comes from that, I didn't really get to experience too much of it, because I had a husband that was so supportive, if that makes sense. And so I know with him, he didn't really like I was more open to looking at pictures of Elijah. Mm-hmm. After he passed. My husband wasn't really into that. Okay. Yeah. So I would say that would be the difference. I think it would bring back too much for him, because like I said, he was always at the hospital.
Right.
With him. But for me, I would love to look at pictures and things like that. But I think my husband, he was pretty, pretty strong, and he was very, very supportive. And till these days, we still talk about Elijah and happily and joyfully. So I hope that answered that question.
Yes, it did. And thank God for your husband. There are a lot of men, and I guess African men, who would really just shut down with something like this and just not allow anyone in, like not even their wives into, you know, their feelings or their emotions or anything, or their spirit. So let's thank God for your husband. You have mentioned, because I think if anyone listens to the first, you know, the beginning of the interview of this, you know, this conversation, they might feel like, oh, okay, so maybe she just didn't cry at all. Like maybe there were no adverse feelings. Like she's just talking about it like, oh, you know, oh, I feel all this joy and everything. But you have just mentioned, you know, the grieving and the crying. And I feel like someone would want to ask, like, weren't you ever like angry at God? Or like, weren't you like really sad? Like, did you ever break down? Like, you know, just those kind of questions. I feel like someone would ask that.
No, definitely. So with me, I never got angry with God. And the reason why is because I literally saw God through the whole process. And I think that's what was a big difference. I think if it didn't happen the way it happened, I probably would have been angry at God. And I don't know if we would probably still be married or living the life we live right now. And what I mean when I say is I saw God through the whole process. Like, God literally gave me the name for the baby Elijah. And that was after that diagnosis. And so when I started reading on the Elijah, I was like, oh, Elijah is this, you know, prophet and did all this stuff. So when God gave me the name, I said, okay, well, God has given me a name for this child. So even though they're saying bad news, if God has given me a name, that means maybe this child is going to live. You know what I'm trying to say? Right. And so that was my thought. And even throughout, like I said, I was so sick prior to pregnancy with Elijah. And when I was pregnant with Elijah, I was like the most beautiful I was ever in life. And even though I was carrying a child that was like doomed for death, I was like, everywhere I went, people would talk, like, it was the best time of my life. I don't know how to explain it. That 9 months or 10 months was just the most amazing time of my life for being a first mom, that first pregnancy, and everything. And so I think aspects of that, I just, my perspective was like, okay, I'm seeing like God is really helping me in all these areas, even as I'm carrying this child that may not make it. And so I didn't feel like he left me. Does that make sense? Like, I think sometimes with infant loss, the most tragic part is feeling abandoned and rejected, especially if you're like in the Christian community. It's like, God, where were you, is what you're going to ask. But I can literally tell you some, like the induction story, that was God. How did I just all of a sudden start having contractions during my appointment? So I felt like God, I have so many other examples of how God was with us. Like even with the 3 baby showers, the favor that God gave upon us to have with this baby, he was so blessed. Not just that, just, I mean, I have so many stories of the entire process of how we felt God's love. And even during that time, honestly, God also sent me like a mentor. And he would just speak life. Like he knew every situation with the baby, but he would like counteract it with just love. Like, you know, God loves you. He would keep telling me the entire pregnancy. And I know I grew up in a Christian home and I, you know, everybody knows John 3:16.
Right.
But like that entire pregnancy was every time I saw him, it's like, God loves you so much. And then he would just give me examples of things that, I mean, I was so encouraged during that pregnancy. So that's the difference with me and someone who may someone who may question God. So I can't really question God because I felt him. You see what I'm saying? I felt him the entire. That doesn't mean I didn't, like I said, the most pain I actually felt, like I said, was when I lost control. Like, I felt like God was in control the entire time. And the moment that everything seemed to spiral, that's when I like lost sight of God. And then I lost control. Does that make sense?
Right.
And so that was, when I say that pain, like I screamed. I was like, my husband took me outside of the hospital and the scream I screamed was so deep, Barry. Like I didn't even know I can scream like that. It was so, I can't, like it was, it was an awful scream to the point my husband was shaking like, oh my gosh, how am I going to help my wife? I screamed like, God, where are you? That's that day I did that. I said, God, like, I can't, this is not my, like, this cannot be my life. And that moment, that's when my husband called my dad. Like, I'm even tearful saying, like, sharing this part. But my husband called my parents because I needed to calm down. It's not that I needed to calm down. He just didn't know what to do, you know? And he really wanted somebody to help me. And he called my parents and my mom was just like, what's going on? What's going on? And I was, you know, my husband was trying to explain. And so mommy was overwhelmed because she was just like, all she could hear me was wailing, right? And so she said, let me get the phone to her daddy. And I'm a daddy's girl. So my dad got on the phone and he was just like, Lola, 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 calm down. God is in control. Elijah's fine. Calm down. And as soon as I heard my father's voice, I will not lie to you, Barry. This peace is like, it wasn't even my father. It was like God himself. He was like, I got this. I've always had this. Hmm. When, Barry, that moment, as in my tears, I wiped my tears like this. That was the last day I cried that kind of cry.
Wow.
That was the last day I cried that kind of cry. He took that moment. He like took that from me. I think it's because I thought I was in control for that moment. And child loss, you're not in control. There's no way you can be in control of that situation because no one expects a child to die.
Right.
You know, no one expects to lose a baby. So I had to give him back the control because if I'm in control, I would literally lose my mind. I would not be who I am today. So it's like that day when God said, when my father said, Lala, God is with Elijah. All is well with Elijah. It is well with you. That's the day I received like the peace that is still with me today. And so even after the baby died, like I said, I did still cry, but it was nothing like that. It was like this. I'll just be in the bed. I'll look at pictures or I'll be listening to, you know, people will be sending you this music and a lot of the music was like sad music. So I'll just be laying in the bed. Yeah, I had nothing else to do, you know. I'll right. just be laying in the bed and I'll be listening to the music and my husband will come in the room and he's like, what are you doing? He's like, you're listening to sad music again, Lola. And I'm like, yeah. And he'll just see me crying. He's like, baby, no, don't listen to sad music. Come on. And then we'll start talking about Elijah and then joy will come. You know? So I won't say I didn't, but when I say that may have lasted for, it's like when the word said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy always showed up for me every morning. So even though I cried for some nights, it wasn't, and I'm not trying to make less of it, but it was not much.
Right.
It may have been a week or two, honestly. And it's not that I was just in denial or I didn't want to face it. It's not that. God literally carried the pain for me because that kind of pain, that kind of pain can take somebody out.
Yeah.
God did not want me to experience that kind of pain. And I must have been too weak to be able to experience that kind of pain. He was like, oh no, this one will make it. Let me swap and give her strength right now. And I feel like I just borrowed his strength. And that's the strength I still have until today, you know? So I'm not going to say that, yeah. But I'm not going to also lie and right. say I experienced that. I can't make it up. I did right. not. I've read stories of women in pain and I'm watching them on social media and I'm just like, God, I would have killed myself or something. There's no way I would, like, because I'm a bubbly, happy person. You know what I'm saying? I'm a joyful person. And for something like that, like to the point, somebody at church was like, oh my gosh, how's Lola doing? Because you know, happy people, when tragedy happens, they can't make it. That was what most people's thoughts were. I'm such a happy person. No one would have ever expected this loss. So I say all that to say, I would love to say I suffered, but I didn't. That suffering was very minor. And yeah.
This makes me, there are two things that come to mind, two sayings, well, one directly from the Bible, and this other one about joy is not the absence of pain, but the satisfying, sustaining presence of the Lord Jesus in the middle of that pain. That's what this sounds like to me. And you also talked about, we just mentioned very briefly, peace. And just the peace that passes understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Absolutely. What I'm getting from you. That's what I'm, I guess, witnessing now. It's a peace that passes understanding because I'm almost certain that a lot of people who listen to this podcast episode will be like, how?
Yeah.
And the only way that I can explain it is You can't explain it because it's your understanding. It's
exactly.
Understanding.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. I just like when you were just speaking, I remember, I don't know if you remember the story, King David and Bible. You know, he had an affair and then he's had a baby and the baby got sick. And while the baby was dying and he was wearing black sackcloth and mourning and grieving and hoping that God would, you know. And then as soon as the baby died, you know what he did? He went to Washington, took off black clothes, and he started living life again. That's literally when Elijah was alive was the most suffering I did. And when he passed, it's like, oh, thank God. In a weird way, I don't know how to explain it. It's just like, because instead of that anxiety of, oh, when's he going to die? You know what I'm trying to say? Like the anxiety, every day you're getting the news of, oh, Elijah had a bad night. Oh, Elijah is not doing well. Oh, Elijah this. Every day you're like, hey. The anxiety of the death that is to come is enough to be overwhelming. And so it's like, finally, when he was gone, it's like, oh. It's like you just felt like you're no longer being tortured.
Right.
Yeah. And even I remembered, even at his bedside, like as he was transitioning, you know, I said it was me, my husband, and Elijah. And you know how it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown in this fire, right? Mm-hmm. And then the guards, I think, saw like another man in the fire. And literally when we were watching our son transition, it was like there was another man with us. It was me, my husband, and the baby, but there was somebody else there with us, which is Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So we were literally left with a Comforter at our bedside. And that's who brought us peace.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. What would you say to the grieving woman who has experienced a miscarriage? Or has lost a baby?
So much I could say. First of all, I would definitely say I'm so sorry for your loss. And I just want you to know that you are not alone. Like, you're really not alone. And you're so loved by God, even though it may not feel like it during this dark time. It's something that you may not even want to understand, because the question is like, God, where are you? And why have you forsaken me and allowed this tragedy to happen? But I just want you to know that you're not rejected. You're not abandoned. And there's actually life after loss, and there's beauty for ashes. There's joy for sorrow. There's strength for the journey. And while the pain exists, like, I just encourage you, mom, to focus on on those truths that I mentioned above, and to embrace the truth so that you can navigate gracefully through the grieving process. Because sometimes as moms of infant loss, whether it's miscarriage or however stillbirth, we feel that the truth will discount the pain, you know, that we're feeling and experiencing. And that pain is too deep for us to allow something to discount, you know. But reality is, holding on to that deep pain can actually kill you. It can actually hold you back from experiencing the future that you once dreamed of, you know. So it's important to let go of the lie, which says that you can't live through it, or the lie that says that the pain is going to be forever, or the lie that says that you are alone, you're just suffering by yourself, or the lie that says that you'll never be happy again, and you'll live in constant fear and agony and torment. That those are all lies. You will be happy again. You can be happy again. Now, by no means does that mean for us to forget our children or forget what happened. That is not it. Because even me personally, every year I celebrate Elijah's birthday. But what it does mean is to release the pain, because that pain is just way too much for any human being to carry, and give that pain to the person, the only person that can even carry it. Family, friends, people that love us can't even carry that kind of pain. They cannot even walk in your shoes. But there's God wants to carry that pain. He said, come unto me, all you that are weary, that are heavy, and I'll give you strength. I'll give you rest. He said, cast every care unto me. I care for you. Let him carry all of it. Let him carry the pain so that you can live life and thrive and flourish. You know, see, what truth does is it forces us to let go of the reality of our pain
It doesn't discount the pain, but it allows us to replace it with joy and peace and love and grace and strength and hope for our future. In my life, weeping, you know, lasted for that season, but joy came in the morning, and joy is still here to stay, and I'm enjoying joy. And what happened was Jesus really just changed my reality, my perspective. Now, that doesn't mean I'm still not a mom of that experienced infant loss. I am. I will always be that mom. But I'm now borrowing God's perspective, and that has become my reality. And lastly, I want to encourage you, mom, speak out about it. Seek help. Seek godly counsel. Like, there's support groups. There are resources. Don't just use the African system of keeping it to yourself because of shame, guilt. Talk about it. There's healing. Like, when I go to sleep tonight, I'm going to feel so good because I just talked about Elijah. That baby counts. That child counts. There's no child that doesn't count. So continue to know that the baby counts, but really, really allow God to receive the embrace God's healing, God's truth for your life. Yeah.
Thank you, Lola. Thank you so, so much. Where can the Mommy Oyoyo audience find you online if they want to reach you, or if they want to send you a message, or your YouTube channel, and also your t-shirt line as well? Like, where can everyone find you?
So I can be found on IG under Damilola21, Damilola21, and on Facebook, Damilola Igumbor. Also, for H&S, which is the clothing brand, somehow we just had technical difficulties, and IG has taken us off for some reason this past week. Uh-oh. So I'm trying to get us, so crazy, but I'm trying to get us back. But right now I'm just kind of uploading everything on Damilola21. So you can still reach and contact me concerning any of our stuff, and you can see any of our designs. And also, now that I'm a new YouTuber, you can find me under Lola Igumbor, Heaven Baby Life After Infant Loss, where I talk about, you know, Elijah experienced infant loss, and now I'm doing things on like singles and marriage and whatever else, you know, I want to talk about. So, yes. And we do have a Fortuness website. We are currently making some changes. So you could find us at www.4hns.com. But just know that it's soon to come. We're changing some things around right now.
Okay. Thank you for that. Everyone, definitely, if you have a similar story, if you know anyone that's gone through the same thing that might just need someone to talk to or some support, definitely send them this episode and they can reach out to Lola. Lola, they can reach out to you, right?
Yes, please. I love to talk about infant loss. Please reach out to me.
Yeah, definitely reach out to her. Lola, thank you so, so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Barry. Thank you.
You're welcome. No, but you, thank you. Like, 5 million thank yous to you. Like, I don't even know if I can sleep now. It's past midnight. I don't know if I can sleep now. I'm going to be thinking, wow, thank you so, so much for sharing your story, Lola. Like, it's amazing. Your testimony is, like you said, it's just supernatural. It's supernatural.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for this platform. And you are, I don't know if you know what you're doing, but hopefully you know what you're doing, as in, like, I'm sure you're freeing so many women. I'm like, this is probably beyond what you even think you're doing. I just want to encourage you. Like, this is really, really amazing. This is life-changing, this platform that you have. This is so amazing. And I just thank God for you.
You're about to make me cry for real.
No, seriously, keep doing it. Yeah, like, all I can hear is you're setting captives free. That's what you're doing. I don't know if you ever knew that's what you're doing, but you're literally allowing people's chains to be broken. Like, I'm feeling chills right now. You're literally allowing the jail cells to open and people to be free from the bondage of culture, shame, guilt, pain. That's what you're doing. This is more powerful than what you thought.
Thank you for that. Sorry, I'm crying right now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
No problem. Love you, Dad.
Okay, everybody, I'm not crying anymore. Yes, I am, but I'm not crying anymore. Okay.
Well, we fix our makeup now, but we don't have to make it. It's like midnight.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Lola. I love you so much for
love you too.
For this. Like, wow. Again, everyone, just make sure you go check out Lola on Instagram and definitely follow her on YouTube. Subscribe to her YouTube page. She has just so much to share on there. So make sure you follow her and subscribe to her. And Lola, once again, thank you so much for being my guest on the Mommy Audio podcast. Everyone who's listening, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I love every single one of you. God bless you. Mwah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Out of everything you could be doing, you chose to spend the time with me, and I am truly grateful. Please follow us on social media at Mommy Oyoyo, which is MommyOyoyo. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Feel free to send us feedback and suggestions that way or via our email at mommyoyoyo@gmail.com. Also, subscribe to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast on your favorite podcast players. Rate and review the podcast. And finally, don't keep this goodness to yourself. Share the Mommy Oyoyo podcast with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and more. The Mommy Oyoyo podcast, sharing experiences of African motherhood. Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo. See you next time.